if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open up to the book of James. We are in a series of James this week, and next week is the end of this series. It's five chapters that we've been through over the last number of months. And years ago, as the Lord leads me to different series or different books, you know, there's a few books that it's like, I'm not sure if I want to touch that one. You know, Romans is tough. Corinthians is tough. James is tough. Ecclesiastes is tough. And yeah, I don't think any preacher has ever preached out of the Songs of Solomon, so we'll stay away from that one probably. But just because James is tough doesn't mean we need to be clear of it. And I think I've learned a lot in this series, and the encouragement through hard times that we should consider things all joy. So a lot of good lessons in this. If you haven't been a part of this series yet, on the ledge back there, in the sound booth, there are some notes, sermon notes. This Sunday we'll talk about it's a little bit simpler, but some of you like try to write down the scriptures and write things down that are on the screen. And so those are available to you if you'd like. Kids, you have your coloring. There's clipboards out there with coloring. There's one coloring. And then a question on the back that if you do the coloring and you answer that question to me at the end of the service, I meet you at the door, then we have some candy for you as well. So just ways to follow along with the scripture and such. But before we're gonna, a lot of times we read a verse or two and then pray, but we're gonna wrap that into the message today. So let's just start in prayer and invite God to open our hearts this morning. God, I thank you. I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray you speak. You speak clearly. And maybe it sounds like my voice, but Lord, I pray to some it's the Holy Spirit ministering to hearts and minds. Lord, as you speak your thoughts and you encourage us or you tell us the areas we need to work on, Lord, I pray that we clearly hear from you. Because you want to speak through your word, through the message, but Lord, through your Holy Spirit. And we invite you to speak to us, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Well, the title of this message this morning is The Power of Patience. And way back at the beginning of this series, we talked about patience. And now we're getting to the end. So, of course, he's going to wrap this up. He's making a nice sandwich. And he's putting the other bun on this thing. He's just wrapping together. And we're talking about patience, which is just not a fun subject. We don't want to talk about patience. But all of us know that we all have different things that we have to deal with patience with, or different things we have to endure. There are many examples of patience, many examples in our lives of endurance. And this week at Grace as a family, we had quite a few different things we've had as a family and or family members have had to endure. Jordan and Sam Kamarik discovered on Tuesday they had some major health concerns with their daughter Sable. And so they rushed her to the hospital and some big things have come up. Glory to God that they have been found. And now they have a long process. Things that they have to endure for their child. And we want to be supportive of them as they have to endure so many things. And if you've ever gone to the doctor, something's wrong, and they do a test and they say, it is this, then you have that flood of thoughts and emotions and questions. But you have to wait because they have to do all these different things. And you sit there trying to be patient, but you're pulling your hair out because that's endurance. That's an example of patience. And that was Tuesday. Wednesday was Harvey Becker's 84th birthday, 84 years on the planet Earth. And it was also his last day. Harvey Becker, beloved brother here, passed away Wednesday. And he had been fighting cancer a couple times in his life. And in the end, it was hard. he was having to endure things I can't imagine, as well as his wife and his family. That's an example of endurance. And many of you here have endured that either in your life or life of your loved ones. And now the family goes into a life without Harvey, although he is dancing on streets of gold here this morning. And many of you have had to go through that endurance, that patience. It's an example. But also on Wednesday was another birthday. Harrington, or Harris John Orff, was born to Connor and Cece Orff Wednesday, the same day. And he was born January 3rd at 6:12 p.m. He weighed in at 8 pounds. I saw 1.2 ounces. Now we're going to the points. Wow, that's important. And he was 18 and 3/4 inches long. And so a congratulations to Connor and Cece. They're not here this morning, but relatives, parents, grandparents are here. But ask any mother, is there any endurance involved when it comes to childbirth or carrying children? And to a much lesser extent, guys, is there any endurance in that process? Yes, there is, but way down there, way up. Yeah, just like, yeah. So we all know there are things we have to endure, or people around us are enduring. There's different types of patience, but in reality, it's all the same. It's all the same word, patience. And what is it? It's waiting. But waiting for what? See, the what is always different, but the patience is the same. We're waiting. So let me ask you this morning, what are you waiting for? Because everyone here has an example of one, two, three things that you are enduring that we need patience for. I think we could come up with many types and examples of patience. And James does a good job today of giving some examples to us for our learning and our understanding. But he's going to talk about patience and endurance throughout our verses here. But he uses two different Greek words. He didn't write them down in English. He wrote them down in Greek. And we see the word patience, but he has two different words. The first word was makarathomeo. And you find that in verses 7, 8, and 10. We see the word typically patience, but it's a word, makarathomeo, that means long-tempered or long-suffering. What's the key word in there? Long. Or we call that patience. The other word he uses in verse 11 is hupomeno, which means patience under stress. Now, both of these are patience, or as I said, waiting. But if you look at those two words, there's actually two different types of waits. The first one, long-suffering, is waiting. You have to wait for a long time. But another type of endurance, of patience we have, is another type of weight. It is a heavy weight that is upon you, and you have to bear up underneath it. And so these are the words that James uses. Makarathomeo means many times to be patient with people, because sometimes that's what we have to endure. I won't make any comments there. We have to endure or be patient with people. But hupomeno means endurance with situations, which is something else we also have to have patience for, or endurance, is situations that are upon us. But both of them mean, and Rick, as you shared a word with me this morning, this came to my attention as the Lord dropped a word in your heart. But both of these can mean to stand fast when you want to run away. You ever want to run away? We need to stand fast when you run away. So do you have any people or situations you want to run away from this morning? And I think the answer for all of us is yes. So it's a pertinent subject that I think we should dig into. Or I could just give you the example, because I would love to just run away right now and leave. But no, we should dig into this. You know, there's sometimes I want to run away from people and situations. God puts me in places I don't want to be. But we need to dig in. So James is going to share three examples this morning of patience. And the notes are pretty simple, as you see. You know, there's not a ton of scriptures. There's not a lot of fill in the blank sort of thing. But it can appear to be simple, but it is a difficult subject. And also, as we read through, you're going to notice it seems like he's jumping kind of from subjects. Up until now, it seems like he's been very systematic in these different subjects. And today, he's going to be maybe a little bit all over the place, but we'll bring it together. We'll figure it out. So, James gives us three examples of patience. And the first example of patience is the farmer. And all the farmers here go, oh, why are we always the example? We know we have to be patient and we have to endure, and the Bible always talks about it. But it is a good example. So I don't mean to open up any wounds or scabs for you farmers, but you're a great example of patience. James chapter 5, 7 through 9. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait. Sounds like they do it so well. They patiently wait. I'm sure that's so true. Patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. Verse 8, you too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Verse 9, again, might look like he's jumping around. He says, don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. Now, before we get to the farmer, James kind of indirectly wraps up last week. Now, what did we talk about last week? Rich people. And James kind of saying, yeah, good luck with that. If you're rich, your life is going to be difficult. There's going to be temptations that make it harder to follow after God. And he brings up these examples of rich oppressors that are corrupting the court system, or they're corrupting governments. And we, the poor, just, what do we do? What do we do? And last week he didn't necessarily wrap it up. Well, this is kind of the verse to indirectly wrap up the rich man discussion. So what does he say in verse 7? Well, he doesn't say, rise up against your oppressors. He doesn't say that. What is his answer? Wait for the Lord's return. And that's actually a really good answer, if I may say so myself. Because think about it. All the things you're enduring, maybe oppression or corruption or unfairness in your life. Tell me, when we're all in heaven, are we going to talk about that? Do you remember those things? Sorry, teenagers. Those things in high school were the end of the world. And now you look back and go, I don't even remember high school. Right? Some of you don't. Different reasons. Sorry. Anyways, we look back and we, it's not going to matter. Rich oppressors, when we're in heaven, are not going to matter. So that's the main thing. We don't have to make a big deal about it now, because it's not going to matter when we are worshiping God in heaven for eternity. But secondly, Jesus is the judge. When he comes again, he's going to judge. He will not forget the rich oppressors. And so we just need to trust in the Lord. Forget about it, all right? We just move on to the next thing. So farmers. Farmers practice patience. And patience, and patience. You know, as I live in town here, I usually head to town every morning, go to the post office, and then I come down Sweet Avenue, or Cemetery Lane, or 125th Avenue, whatever it is. It's all of the above. I always pass by these cornfields, right? Year round. Do you know how often I see someone working the cornfields? Like, rarely ever. Does that mean farmers just sit around all day? And they don't do any work? No, because a big part of raising a crop is waiting. And so you have to wait. A farmer waits. But I also know that a farmer works. And if that's the application to us, we must wait on the situation, whatever you're going through, because it's in God's hands. That's what we wait on. But we don't sit around. You don't sit on your couch, just fold your hands, and there's a difficulty in your life, and I'm just waiting for God to take care of it. No, in the meantime, we work. A farmer works. You work in the situation that you're going through, and our work is to prepare, and our work is to pray. Those are things we must do as a farmer does. But we have to understand it takes time. Charles Spurgeon says, I never reckoned that I would slay my enemy at the first blow. Whether you have an enemy before you, or an illness, or a financial thing, it never takes place overnight. The crop doesn't grow overnight. It's something that you have to be patient about. You might have some little victories and some setbacks, but we wait on the Lord and it takes time. As I was reading through my commentaries, I saw this list from commentary from David Guzik, and I thought I'd just put it in there for you guys to see. And so let's see these wrapping up of thoughts of the farmer by David Guzik. Number one, he waits with reasonable hope and expectation of reward. That's what a farmer does. He waits with a reasonable hope and an expectation of reward. I would call that dreams, imagining. You know, I had dreams for many, many years after we had kids that someday it would be really nice if I'd be able to coach my kids in sports. But where we were at, where we lived, and my work, I had no time. And so it was an unfulfilled dream until we came here. And I was able to do a couple years of basketball and baseball with my boys and coaching sports. And I have time to be involved with my kids in school and their activities. It's a reward. I had a little hope, and I almost thought it was gone. And yet, after some patience, here it is. And so I'm blessed by that. I love music. I'm a musician, play many different things, former worship leader, songwriter. I haven't done any of that really in a long time. I have little times here and there. It seems like it's something that's disappeared, but I also see in my kids them picking that up. And I have a great reward in seeing my kids sing and worship and write music. It's a blessing. There's a reward there. I don't know if you've seen a thread in my rewards. I didn't want to be a pastor, a senior pastor, and I felt like I would be all alone. And the Lord gave me a vision that my son interpreted for me when he was 12 years old. And my family is my pack. And it's been a blessing. There's a reward there. I've had a hope to see my kids grow and mature. And before we came here, my eighth grade daughter, as we were really concerned about what happens if we move, are kids going to be upset with us? And my eighth grade daughter at the time said, Dad, Mom, we want to go where the will of God is. And that was a reward. That is a reward. Parents, there is a reward in the raising of your children. Grandparents, it's there. But you have to have a reasonable hope. But there is an expectation that you can endure things, and parents, you know you endure in things, but there's a reward. He waits a long time. Do I need to explain that one? That's what patience is. That's what a farmer does. He waits a long time. He waits working all the while. Luke chapter 12, 43. If the master returns, Jesus returns, which he's going to, as James tells us, and finds that the servant has done a good job, he's been working, there will be a reward. You work. Farmers work. They are constantly working. They are working much longer hours for much less than we are. But they are working. And it's a statement I use here at Grace Community Church. No parking. I don't want people to come and you park your seat on the bench and that's it. We need to work. Why do we need to work? Well, they need volunteers. No. No. That is not why a pastor asks the congregation to work, to volunteer, to help. It's for your reward, not mine. I don't get that reward. Are you robbing yourself of a reward by just coming and being fed and then going home? We need to work. We need to work. But Pastor, I'm going through some things right now, and I'm not sure if I'm qualified. Welcome to the family. God qualifies. God does that. We just have to say, here's my heart, God. Let me serve you. You need to work. He waits, depending on things out of his power, with his eyes on the heavens. What's the farmer talking about? Rain. A farmer cannot control the weather, but he looks up, or he looks at his weather app. What do we need to do? The refreshing rains, the growing rains are coming, church. Fix your eyes on the heavens, not on what's going on in front of you. Lift your eyes up. He waits despite changing circumstances and many uncertainties. Now, I may have not told the whole truth just a few moments ago. Crops don't grow overnight, but there is one crop that grows overnight. Farmers? Weeds. Right? Wow, what a great crop that's growing. You go to bed, you come back the next day, and what is that? Those are the changing circumstances. We have great victories. We're moving ahead, and then all of a sudden weeds pop up. And we didn't see it coming, and now we got to do some more work in order to take care of that harvest. He waits encouraged by the value of the harvest. Now, farmers here might laugh at that subject. You know, maybe there's not a great value, but that's why they farm. That's why we have farmers, because there is a value to the harvest. That's why we endure, church, because at the end of this, there is a great harvest. As I've tried to encourage some this week, as the things that they've been going through, focus your eyes at the reward at the end, the value of the harvest. What's at the end of this? Don't, in the middle, you might not see any value, but at the end of your patience, there is a reward. There is a value. He waits encouraged by the work and harvest of others. You see farmers working together. They share equipment. They share time. When it's harvest time, they're working together. And I think they get encouraged because maybe they help a neighbor with their farming, and they see the great value in the crop, the harvest coming in. They're excited for theirs. And that's what we should be in the church. We should be encouraged by helping each other. As people are enduring, we encourage them with patience and we come alongside them. There are many opportunities to do that. He waits because he really has no other option. At some point, the experienced farmer goes, well, nothing else I can do. I just got to wait for the rain. I got to wait for the harvest. And I believe that's a mature Christian. At some point, you finally come to the conclusion, well, there's nothing really I can do about this. I just got to trust in God. He waits because it does no good to give up. During some of the things that happened this week with our families, God reminded me, and even in the studying for this, God reminded me, Isaiah had just been born. He was a few months old. My daughter Kaylee was about 21 months old, and she had a seizure. And I was at work, and M called the ambulance. She didn't know. She was holding Kaylee, and she just had a seizure. And the ambulance came and took the three of them to the hospital. She called me. I met them there. And we had to go through that patience, that endurance. What just happened? What's wrong? What is this? A lot of questions and concerns. But they had to run tests to find things out. And so the four of us were there, but Isaiah was just born and was nursing, so she had to stay with Isaiah in the room, and so I went with Kaylee. And I remember at one point, I was carrying her. I still remember she had this pink little nightgown that she was in. And she wore that for about 2 days as we were dealing with this. But I carried her into this room that had the CT scan. So there's this giant circular thing in a bed. And the bed had a foam outline of a small body. And my job was with the nurse to put Kaylee in there so they could scan her brain. But does a 21-month-old want to be in that? No. So alongside the foam, there was Velcro straps. And I and the nurse had to strap my daughter in, 21-month-old, that's just looking up at me with tears in her eyes, as were me. And all she said was, Daddy, 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 over and over. What did I want to do? I wanted to take it off, pick it up, and say, I'm sorry, doctor, you have to do something else. I give up. But I couldn't. Why? Because she needed this. Church, as we said about in worship, God doesn't give up on you. You know what God is doing right now? He's strapping you in. And you're having to endure, and you're looking up at God going, Daddy, 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 what is going on? But there is no way he can explain to you what you are enduring. There is no way I could explain to my daughter, this is good for you. Endure it on the other side is something good. That's what God does for you, but you can't give up. A farmer does not give up. He waits aware of how seasons work. Rains come. I don't think here in Wisconsin. I was talking about Wapaka. That's in my head. Here in Wisconsin, we've ever not had rain in a year. It almost seems like we were not going to have snow. But seasons work. Rain comes. A farmer understands this. How does a farmer understand that rains are coming? Either through experience or through training. How do we know that God is going to refresh, bring the rains? Either you've experienced it or someone has taught you. They come alongside you and say, just trust the seasons. You're in a low, God's going to bring you to the high. You just have to trust the season. And James talks about the early rains and the latter rains. It's a little different than us here in Wisconsin or the Midwest, that the early rains were in October or November. And in Bible times, those rains softened the ground because they had to by hand till up the soil. They didn't have this equipment to take care of it. So they waited for the early rains to help till up the soil. And then they plant their crops, and then the latter rains would come in either April or May, and that helped mature the crop at the very end so that they could harvest it. Farmers know this. They trust this. This is the way the system works. And we need to know that there's seasons in our spiritual life. He waits because as time goes on, it becomes more important and not less to do so. And we talked about that a little bit at the end of the message last week, a scripture out of John, that, yeah, it's getting dark out. The world is getting darker, but that should motivate us to seek the harvest. That should motivate us to spread the word because the return of Christ is coming. And so we should be more motivated to do God's work. But he also gives a little bonus thought. James gives us this bonus thought in verse 9. It seems like it comes out of nowhere. He says, also don't grumble at each other. But it's a kind of pertinent note when it comes to farming or this patience. You see, when we're tested, when you're going through something difficult, are you happy to be around? Are you a delight when things aren't going well? Husbands and wives, you can have a little conversation right there if you want. When we're tested, we're apt to complain against those that are around us. Even though they have nothing to do with what's going on, they're just close, and they get to hear our grumbling. And somehow we blame them for the lack of rain. It doesn't work. That's not the way it is. Husbands and wives, why do we grumble to our spouses? Why do we complain? Many times it has nothing to do with them. We had a hard day at work. A situation came up. Whatever it is. And we transfer our frustration, our impatience on those around us. And James is saying, don't do that. The second example that James gives is the prophets. The prophets. James chapter 5 verse 10. For examples of patience in suffering, dear brothers, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Excuse me a moment. The prophets, they would hear from God. They would share the words from God. And then they would suffer. Now, when I run my calculations, it doesn't add up. Okay, so I hear from God. I want to hear from God. And he speaks to me and says, share the words with people. So I share the words with people. And every time I share the words with people, then they persecute me. They beat me up. They throw me in prison. Or maybe they kill me. Why would they keep doing this? It doesn't add up. Why would they keep dealing with the suffering, the persecution, the endurance. Either one, they're crazy. Could be. Or two, they knew how wonderful it was to hear a word from God and share His truth. And that was greater than the suffering they knew that was going to come. Despite the suffering, there was a greater delight, greater motivation to share the word of God. You see, many times we believe that when we have suffering in our life, it's because of some sin or we've been unfaithful to God. That's usually our go-to thing. If something difficult's going on, what did I do wrong? But in reality, it could be the opposite. That we are suffering because we are faithful to God, just as the prophets were. And so we need to check. So what have I been doing? Because maybe more often than not, we're just suffering because we trust in God. We're persecuted. What do you think when you hear the word prophet? Right? Seems like an old word, right? It's an Old Testament thing. Seems like it was old guys in robes and big beards, and they lived out in the wilderness and ate funny foods and they talked really funny, right? That's what prophets were. Whatever you kind of imagine with the word prophet, you're probably wrong. I believe we should all be hearing the voice of God. I hope you believe that too. God speaks. I want to be able to hear Him. I want everyone here to be able to hear the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God, you could almost call that prophetic. When you hear from God. And if I hear from God, I want to share it with other people. So is it really an old thing? Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Then He added, pay close attention to what you hear. And He's talking about listening to Him. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive, there's another reward, blessing, even more. Yeah, I think everyone here should be hearing, listening closely to God, and sharing His words with others, encouraging others. But we don't. Why not? Why are we not learning this or not pressing in or not trying to hear God in every situation and share His words? Well, sometimes we think, well, that doesn't happen anymore. Prophets were Old Testament. We live in the New Testament. And yeah, prophets don't exist. I don't think that's necessary. Or sometimes we think, it's kind of hard, Pastor Jason. There's a lot of noise out there. It's kind of difficult to hear God. Or we might say, I don't know how. I don't know how to hear God's voice, so therefore I don't. Which is interesting because we had a class on hearing the voice of God this past fall. We want to give you opportunities to hear God's voice. Or we just simply say, you know, Pastor Jason, you do such an incredible job. Amen. Hearing from the Lord. I mean, why do I need to duplicate that? How about you hear from God? And just let me know what He's saying. Yeah, read Deuteronomy chapter 5 and tell me how that went. It's not good. We need to hear from God. We need to hear the voice of God and share His words with others. So why don't we? Well, I think the main reason is I'm afraid of what He'll say. Because if I hear God's voice and He tells me to say and do something I don't want to say and do, I don't want to hear that. So if I don't hear it in the first place, I'm good. Or we think, if I start hearing from God, I might end up like that prophet. And I might be a little crazy, and I may wear robes and grow out a beard, and I might suffer. I might be persecuted. So I'd rather not hear from God. Newsflash, church. Whether you hear from God or not, there will be suffering. I want to suffer for hearing from God, being obedient to God. I want to suffer sharing the word of God to others so that there is life. The prophets are a great example of endurance and suffering. And prophets should motivate us to hear from God, not stop us. It should motivate us to endure, not stop us. And the third example James gives us is Job. Verse 11. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. Now, here and in the next verse, seems like James is hitting all sorts of kind of different thoughts. He's kind of going all over the place, but he is at the end of the book. And so maybe he had a word count, you know, he's only supposed to do about 1,000 words and he's just trying to wrap it up really quick. Or he's got place, maybe he's running out of ink. He's going really quick, getting these thoughts in, or his wife is going, James, told you to take the garbage out. And he's like, okay, just one more minute, writing it out. But he's a bit all over the place, but he is taking all these thoughts and he's trying to wrap them, together, as his final encouragement to you and I. But he brings up, then there's Job. And he says, for instance, you know about Job. Right, church? You know about Job? Now, do you know about Job because you've heard a pastor talk about Job? Or do you know about Job? Have you read through that book? Job is a great example of patience and endurance. He had to endure both people and situations, both of our Greek words today. And he is also a great example of God's tenderness and mercy, also known as a reward that James is talking about. Do you know this example? Now, I used to love anything Marvel. Marvel's cinematic universe, the movies that came out for years and years, just loved them all, watched them over and over again, up until a couple years ago, because you usually you'd watch one or two movies and you're good. But then there's like 3 or 4 or 5 movies a year, and then all these series. And if a new movie came out, well, you gotta watch at least these 4 movies and then these 2 series, especially this episode and that episode. You had to do homework to be entertained at the movie theater. And I didn't want to do homework. I just want to be entertained. But church, you have homework to do. Read the book of Job. Are you going through something difficult? Are you having to deal with endurance? Either a relationship, a physical thing? Are you about fed up? Are you about ready to give up, which you shouldn't? Then go read the book of Job. It's 40-some, 50-some chapters. If it's funny reading, read it out of the message just to get the understanding. A New Living Translation. Go read the book of Job, because I do that. I've never really read the book of Job when I'm in a good, happy mood. I've always read the book of Job when I'm going through something difficult, because as I read through the book of Job, it reveals things to me. It reveals, like Job, the influences that I'm listening to that might not be the best influences. It reveals to me that as I've been enduring, I start grumbling and complaining, and I get confusion. And that's what happened to Job. And it shows me those things as I read through the book of Job. And ultimately, it shows me that God is great, and he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. Are you going through something? Then know the example of Job by reading the book of Job. It will help you and encourage you. But James also says we give honor to those who endure under suffering. We're honoring Job. Well, do we do that as a people? Yeah. You ever honoring someone for their endurance? Sometimes that someone is just called blessed. We have a generation, or we had a generation in America that was the blessed generation. We called them what? The greatest generation. Why were they great? Because they endured. And these are people typically born between the 1900 to about 1930. What did they endure? They endured the Great Depression. My grandparents went through that. They also had to endure as children. Their parents or their world was rocked by World War I, and ultimately most of them served in World War II, and they were our greatest heroes, I think this nation has known. And their children were known as baby boomers. Why? Because they endured suffering, and we call them great. Job is great. We can have great generations, great people that are blessed, but it's because they went through something. They endured something. And I look at our generations, even my generation, the Xers. that maybe we're not as blessed, we're not as great, we're a bit more on the spoiled side, because we haven't really endured hardships. Yes, we've endured having our feelings hurt, but it's nothing like the greatest generation that suffered and came out great. So James is telling us, endure like farmers, like the prophets, like Job. How do you win a basketball game? You have to play the basketball game. You have to endure the challenge. How do you overcome a sickness? Well, you have to overcome the sickness. I told you my family for weeks had been sick and I'd been healthy, but then last couple weeks ago, Christmas Eve, all of a sudden I'm like, oh no, here it comes. And for a couple of days I was like, you know what? I need to just get this thing and get it over with. Because now that I have overcome it, I'm immune, protected, whatever you want to call it. Whatever that strain is, you know, my body has learned to fight it. But that's because I endured it. We overcome a sickness by enduring it. How do you pass a test? You got to take the test, right? That's how we pass it, by taking it. Over COVID, they made a change to our teenagers and our drivers. Many of you maybe don't know this, but many of the teenage drivers in here today, they never took the road test. You can tell. They didn't have to. They just didn't have to pass the test. Well, January 1, 2024, they changed that rule back. And now you have to take the test. And so my youngest, Andrew, will have to take the test. Kaylee and Isaiah, great drivers, they didn't have to take the test. They didn't pass the test. So when Andrew passes, he'll be able to say, I endured, I overcame, I passed the test. The only way we overcome is we have to take the test. And one little thought here, again, there's one more verse. Again, James seems to be going all over the place. They do tie together. He talks about oaths. Verse 12. But most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just say a simple yes or no so that you will not sin and be condemned. Now, a lot of times if we take one verse and we build our theology on that one verse, we don't get a full picture. You got to look at other scriptures that talk about oaths. God does not forbid oaths. He takes them. He makes them. He makes covenants. But the Bible warns against, which I believe James is doing, flippant oaths, just nonchalant, giving your word for something. What's an example of a flippant oath? Oh, I don't know, about 6 days ago. What do we call them? New Year's resolutions. You know what? I'm gonna make a change. I'm gonna have a resolution this year. I'm gonna be nicer to my spouse. I'm gonna work out. I'm gonna lose weight. I'm gonna read through the Bible in the year. Was it great? Then do it. Don't make a resolution and not do it. Don't make a commitment and not do it. James is just saying, let your yes be yes and your no be no. If you're going to make a commitment, make a commitment. If you know you are in the middle of enduring something and you know you need to be patient, then be patient. If you say to someone, yeah, I'm going through this thing, but God is good. Well, that sounds great to you and I, but when you go home, is God still good? Or are now you shaking your fist at God? If you know that we're supposed to trust in God, if we're supposed to be patient with God, if we're supposed to wait on the Lord, then do it. Don't be flippant about your yeses and nos. Stand by your word. So in conclusion, James and I believe God, they want you to commit to change. Change the way that you handle patience. Job began blessed and hardships came. And he started to kind of complain a little bit to God. So God comes along and he kind of scolds him. He teaches him. He corrects him. He encourages him to change. And near the end of the book, that's what Job did. He changed his speech and he changed his heart. And when he did that, you know what God did? God rewarded him. God blessed him. So you're going through difficulties. You're going through great difficulties. You know you need to be patient. You know you need to say, I trust in the Lord. You're supposed to choose joy, count it joy. Then do it. Trust in God that way. Let's pray. Help us, Father, to endure. Lord, help our yeses be yes and noes be no. Lord, let us make resolutions that we stand strong on because we know you're with us, that you're good to us. So, Father, we want you to help us to grow up. And, Lord, we need to know that you are standing over us when we feel like we're strapped down and we can't go anywhere. We can look into your eyes and know that you're there for us, that we just need to endure because it's going to be good on the other side. We look forward to our reward, Lord, that your Son is coming again someday to bring, yes, justice to this earth, but, Lord, most importantly, that we get to be with Jesus forever and eternity. So we look to that, and that should motivate us, Lord, to get the harvest going, Lord, to share the word, to bless others. And Father, we also need to know that there are those around us that are enduring some great hardships. And I pray, Lord, that we are able to come alongside them to encourage them and help them through their difficulties. So give us those opportunities, as I know you have, Lord. And we want to be able to endure as you've taught us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So speaking of, good example, coming alongside, how can we support some of these families that have gone through some hardships this week? The Comerics are going to have to travel a couple times a week down to Marshfield and for the next month or more. It's a lot of travel they did not expect. It's a lot of expenses that they have not been prepared for. Jordan will be out of work for a little while. And so can we support the Comerick family? Is there some things we can do? And so I want to put to you a couple of things that we can do. Gas cards. If you want to bring them to me, put them in an envelope, I can get it to them. But they're going to have to pay for a lot of gas for these trips that they did not anticipate. It's a simple thing that if everyone participated, it would be a blessing to them. Secondly, he said he was putting off because of the expense, set of tires for their van. Now he's a mechanic. He says there's another mechanical issue he hasn't diagnosed yet. He hasn't had the time, which he can take care of. But he's been pushing off the tires and, you know, long traveling, winter months, tires are important. And so I just put forward the congregation, if there's someone that would be willing, to help them with a set of tires for their van, they'll probably be going through Walmart, so we could maybe arrange gift cards to Walmart or something. But we want to come alongside them as they're going to have to endure some hard seasons with their kids. And I want to alleviate some of those extra weights and pressures that we can. So that's one thing. The other thing is the Becker family. And Bev is a little under the weather. She's not here this morning. But the funeral for Harvey Becker will be this Saturday. At 10 a.m., they had a bunch of scheduling things and trying to get it at the right time. So it's a little bit earlier, but it's going to be here at the church at 10 a.m. There'll be a kind of a visitation from 9 to 10 before that. But the previous night, from 3 to 6, Friday night, this coming Friday night, there'll be a visitation at Skinner's Funeral Home that you're welcome to go there, to greet the family and Bev, or you could come to the funeral. We are expecting quite a few. They've been a part of this community for a long time. And so we are expecting to use every square inch of this building. And we are going to have a reception, a light meal afterwards, of the funeral. And so we do need some help. I'm going to set up the sanctuary. My wife is going to tear down the nursery because we're going to need that seating. But on Friday, at probably about 7 p.m., we are looking for maybe 2-3 guys that would be willing to help with Ginger to set up tables and chairs for the fellowship area. If you're interested with that, Steve Orff is going to be here. I think he's teaching in the back right now. But Steve Orff is going to kind of head that up. So 7 p.m. here at the church, again, looking for a couple of guys that if you would talk to Steve or you could talk to Ginger, who's right here. She's gonna tell you where things go. And so that'll be Friday night. Saturday, Again, we're going to probably have some more moving of chairs, some setup, and some teardown that we're looking for a couple of guys. Steve will be here again before 10, and so he's going to coordinate that. So whether Friday or Saturday, you can talk to Steve. But when we dismiss for the graveside, the food will be served, and we seat less in there than we do in here presently before we expand. And so as people are starting to eat, we might come through this door and put some tables and chairs set up in here. Again, we'll need some people to help with that. And so if there's a few gentlemen that would be willing to help Friday and or Saturday, talk to Steve, talk to Ginger, and we can coordinate that. And then secondly, they're going to cater in most of the food, but we're going to provide some drinks as well as desserts. And so we have a sign-up sheet out in the welcome area. I think we're looking for 12 to 15 people to bring in, you know, some cookies, some bars, some desserts, that are kind of easy to grab. And so if you would either talk to Ginger, but most importantly, go to the sign-up sheet, put your name and information down there. And I think we'd like it here between 9:30, 10 o'clock on Saturday. So if you could bring it in at that time or make a different arrangement, whether talking to her or to me. But if you'd be willing to help with the desserts, we would greatly appreciate it. So there's ways, and these are just those little examples of things that we go through as a body of believers, but we are a family, and we want to be a blessing. We want to encourage others. And so if there's a way you could bless the Kamerics or the Beckers in this season, I haven't heard from the Orfs, you know, if they're in need of anything with a newborn. But we want to come alongside our brothers and sisters and encourage them. So please consider those things and see if you can help out. I'm going to invite you to stand. Let's pray a dismissal, and we'll let you go. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We rejoice. Lord, you are good through the highs and the lows. And today is a day of great thanksgiving, a day of joy. Lord, we want to worship and honor you. And Lord, we want to come alongside. So I pray, Lord, that whether it's the Kamerics or the Orfs or the Beckers, Lord, or people that we know, that we can come alongside and encourage people that are enduring difficult things. Lord, we want to be a blessing to this community, to this congregation. Lord, a blessing to our families. Lord, we want to be a blessing to those around us, our coworkers, our bosses, our employees. Lord, we want to encourage and uplift. And so, Father, I know you're giving us opportunities. I pray, Lord, that we take up those opportunities. And I pray, Lord, your blessing be upon everyone here. We thank you for this day. Thank you that you're with us. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.